Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and I'm your host of YouTube and Chill, and it is Friday night. And on Friday nights, well, we kind of sit back and chill. We talk about sex and intimacy. And today, that is for sure the topic. We're going to get into some sex in a very interesting way. We're talking about sex happy meal style. And as you see in the title, we're talking about the former CEO of McDonald's, but he's not the only one. There have, he had his version of a happy meal. So if you give me 1 second. You guys know I like to bring it in with a beat. Some of you call it a caveman beat. Here we go. Good evening, everyone. It is Friday, and it is time to do a little YouTube and chill. Sit back. What's going on, Alex? Good to see you in the house. Jay Brill, true life lover. What's going on? So on Fridays, we like to talk about sex and intimacy. And we always do it from a man's perspective. Today, I'm doing a little bit, something a little different, even though we're definitely going to be talking about sex. We're going to be talking about sex, and in some ways, we'll be talking about Happy Meals, and I guess it's possible to have too many Happy Meals. Imagine Happy Meals costing you $105 million. So guys, if you haven't liked this video, smash that like button. And if you haven't shared it already, you want to share it, because we're going to look at what happens with sex in the workplace. Is that okay? A lot of people say they don't get their milk and bread from the same place. I hear all kinds of crude ways of saying the same thing of why people don't have sex with their colleagues, their work colleagues, or anyone in the workplace. Can be even more detrimental if you are the boss. And for this talk, we're actually talking about the big boss, the CEO of a company, and McDonald's is a Fortune 500 company, and that's just one company. We're going to go through several where CEOs have lost their job for having sex with someone in the company. This guy, McDonald's, is a very interesting. He was, that guy was having a good time. So smash the like, share it. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, this is a good time to do that. And hit the bell so you'll receive notifications for future shows. So what's our title? Did former CEO of McDonald's bring new meaning to the Happy Meal, to this whole notion of a Happy Meal? I always like to have more than one title. And I was also thinking, should you be fired for having sex with someone at work? Is that grounds for being fired? And some companies have clear policies. Some companies say if you're a manager over and you start a relationship with someone under you, they just relocate them. So it's not so clear. Hell, there are even people who meet at work and marry. So this is actually, that's a trend that's been happening more and more. They say people are spending so much more time at work that finding love in the workplace is becoming rather common, especially you figure over the past 50 years, the amount of women that you put in the workplace. So it kind of is logical, right? You're working on projects together, you get to know one another, those late nights, and as some people say, it just happened. Well, what happens when you're the head honcho, you're the CEO of a publicly traded company, and they actually have contracts, you know, those CEOs, and there are all sorts of ethics and guidelines that the CEO must follow, and when he violates them, that can be a big problem. So, you know, I in some ways, you know, not that it's funny that a guy loses his job. What was the former McDonald's CEO enjoying too many Happy Meals? Is that why he lost his job? Did former McDonald's CEO pay $105 million for too many Happy Meals? So what really happened? So I'm going to do some screen share so that I am not just speaking off the top of my head and giving my opinion. I'd like to give you some facts about what happened. And we're also going to look at some other CEOs that found themselves in similar situations. The gentleman at McDonald's, well, this is hot off the press, and this is some of the things that I wrote. His name is Steve Easterbrook. Steve Easterbrook is from Watford in the UK. He's also He was also the CEO of McDonald's before the board of directors fired him. And if you understand, in these publicly traded companies, that is one of the jobs of the board. They hire and fire the CEO. Not only was he fired, he gave back $105 million in cash and incentives he earned as a severance package. The reason? Well, it seems Steve brought new meaning to a McDonald's Happy Meal. Steve Easterbrook seemed to be taking his fair share of sex partners in and out of McDonald's. After investigations, the board knew about a couple of relationships. However, after a whistleblower exposed pictures, it became clear Steve was making his rounds. This is not the first CEO of a Fortune 500 to lose his job over sexual misconduct. Tonight, we're going to discuss a short list of who also violated the contractual obligations of a CEO. And you may be surprised by some of these situations. Some of them actually go beyond just sexual intercourse, and we'll get to that. So let's look at Steve Easterbrook, former McDonald's CEO. Let's bring up an article. You can see his picture. It's hot off the press, so some of you guys may already know about this. But I wanted to bring this up. I mean, you know, it's Friday. I like talking about sex. But, you know, in some ways you're going to see power. Some people say abuse of power. You know, when Bill Clinton was CEO of, when Bill Clinton was president of the United States, there was the whole hoopla. I was technically living out the country. I was living out of the country for a number of years. And when that whole debacle happened, I was out of the U.S. And it was very interesting when I was living in Mexico that the response they had to Clinton having sex with Monica Lewinsky was, they were like, people didn't care about it as much in other countries as people did in the U.S. So that's partly where I'm coming from. You know, the French people said, well, if our president of the country was having an affair, we just say, yeah, you know, go on, just keep running the country. Well, as long as you're doing a great job running the country, we're okay. Who you have sex with is inconsequential. But here in the U.S., we seem to have a huge hang-up over who's having sex with who. We can even go back to John F. Kennedy. I mean, there are probably a number of presidents. I mean, if you go back far enough, the kings, King George, they had their mistresses. But here in the U.S., we seem to frown upon this. And this gentleman, the former McDonald's, he was actually divorced. But what you're going to find interesting is this guy, some may say he was you might look at him as somewhat of a player. And I'm going to take some calls tonight. If you'd like to call in and join the conversation, the phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. I see you, Catherine Gaines. So this article, Fortune magazine, reputable. This is very recent, December 16th, 2021. So this is literally from yesterday. Former McDonald's CEO pays back $105 million to settle lawsuit alleging he concealed sexual relationships with employees. And there's a picture of Steve Easterbrook. So a British guy made it to CEO of a U.S. Fortune 500 company. So the article, it's not that long, just so you have the facts. McDonald's took the highly unusual move last year of suing its former CEO, Steve Easterbrook, to claw back his compensation, alleging that he had multiple sexual relationships with employees during his tenure and lied to cover them up. To industry observers, the allegations were shocking, but so was McDonald's decision to sue. So imagine, they were suing this guy. And he was already gone. He had already been fired. No one expected an old school institution like McDonald's to air its dirty laundry in order to distance itself from former CEO. Today, the saga, which had brought unwanted attention and scrutiny to the company and its board, ended for the Golden Arches. McDonald's announced that it had settled what board chairman Rick Hernandez called, in an internal memo viewed by Fortune, its unprecedented lawsuit with Easterbrook, returning equity awards and cash with a current value of more than $105 million. So imagine, Steve Easterbrook had $105 million and he was given this, and it should have been, 2019, he lost his job, and he had to write them a check to return it. Good thing he didn't spend it all, like many people who win the lottery. Article goes, the amount is what Easterbrook would have forfeited. So now, and this is the part. See, the amount is what Easterbrook would have forfeited had he been truthful at the time of his termination and as a result been terminated for cause, the company said in a press release. That's quite a settlement, says Charles Elson, a professor specializing in corporate governance at the University of Delaware's Business School. It suggests McDonald's had a pretty strong case. If they settled with him and got back half, that would have been a different story. Easterbrook's lawyer said he and Easterbrook declined to comment further. McDonald's also declined to comment beyond its release. McDonald's fired Easterbrook in November 2019 for sexting with an employee, but decided not to fire him for cause, meaning he departed McDonald's with more than $40 million in severance and compensation. Less than a year later, McDonald's chairman Hernandez received a whistleblower letter. So someone basically exposed him. So the whistleblower letter, which instigated a further investigation, found that dozens of nude, partially nude, or sexually explicit photos of various women, the subsequent lawsuit claimed. The company alleged that it was evidence Easterbrook had sexual relationships with multiple female employees, and that Easterbrook had deleted the photos from his phone with the intention of concealing their existence from the company. So they knew he had an affair with one woman. And hey, they were going to, you're out, you know, so violated your contract, you're gone. But when they found that he had been with multiple women, they were like, you're out. Like, and it's crazy because they have all kinds of contracts saying that, you know, this is against ethics, it's against company policies. And if he had one woman, this is a problem. But this is multiple, man, and he's sexting. I mean, this, I don't know if this is just a guy with balls or he's stupid. I mean, he worked his way up the corporate ladder. So, you know, is he really a dummy? I mean, this is not very intelligent on his part. The company said in a complaint that it would never have agreed to the terms of the initial settlement if it had known about the alleged sexual relationship and Easterbrook's attempts to cover them up. So that was the other problem. He didn't disclose he had been with several women, and then he tried to hide it. And the whistleblower, well, exposed it. Which is, that's interesting, a whistleblower. Hernandez in today's internal memo said, today's resolution avoids a protracted court process and moves us beyond a chapter that belongs in our past. Fernandez and his fellow directors had come under pressure for their 2019 decision to fire Easterbrook without cause, with a shareholder group calling for a refresh of the board. So even the board was being questioned for firing him, and you're going to find out why it wasn't, why the investors, especially the major investors, were not happy about Easterbrook being fired. Also, as part of the settlement, Easterbrook issued an apology saying that he had failed to uphold McDonald's values and fulfill certain responsibilities as CEO. Easterbrook had been tapped by the board in January of 2015 to turn around the struggling burger giant. It had shaken up the insular culture. He had made big moves like implementing all-day breakfast and relocating the company's headquarters from suburban Chicago to the city. During his 4.5-year tenure, Easterbrook grew McDonald's market cap by over $50 billion, more than any restaurant CEO has ever added during a similar time span, according to industry consultants. So this guy increased the amount of investment money coming into the organization, driving up their stock price. And that's more than any restaurant CEO has ever, $50 billion he added, and he did that in 4.5 years. So I don't think the board wanted to get rid of him. I mean, he's known for doing a good job, and he did some other things in terms of technology, but let's look at another article. I mean, technically, this guy, Easterbrook, was technically doing a good job as a CEO. He was making some great decisions. He shook up the company, but man, he just took liberties. I mean, McDonald's is known for a Happy Meal, but I didn't think it was supposed to be taken advantage of. And I don't know, it's hard to say he took advantage of women, because this would have all been consenting adults. But you could say he overdid it. So I'm not going to read this whole article, but here for the New York Times put a slightly different spin on this guy. So this article, you see, this is a BBC. Sorry, 23 hours old. It's not even a day old. Ex-McDonald's boss to repay $105 million over staff relationships. And this one, they say that there have been a lot of complaints about sexual harassment. So in July 2019, an anonymous tip-off led to investigators to find that Mr. Easterbrook had sent sexually explicit photographs of three employees to his personal email from his company address. Investigators also found messages showing that he approved a grant of company shares worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to one of the employees shortly after their first sexual encounter. So one of these women was financially benefiting. He approved a grant worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to one of the employees shortly after their first sexual encounter. Man, that must have been a really happy meal she supplied him. I mean, basically now he's abusing his authority. McDonald's said it had not initially found the photos and messages because Mr. Easterbrook had deleted them from his phone. It claimed Mr. Easterbrook violated his duty to the company by lying when asked about his behavior in an effort to secure a bigger severance package, committing fraud. But they also, there was, let's see, in this article, it talked about a woman who's spearheading a sexual harassment. So they say in a lot of the McDonald's restaurants, that there's been a lot of sexual harassment. And so the claim is now they can see why he never did anything about the sexual harassment claims, because he was too busy making his rounds. So just in April, this past April, the chain announced it would implement new training for its 39,000 restaurants to prevent harassment and promote safe, respectful places. The majority of the restaurants are run by franchisees who will be required to meet new, safer workplace standards. So, man, they're really lighting up a fire here. And it's interesting. Mr. Easterbrook is 54, first worked for McDonald's in 1993 as a manager in London before working his way up the company. He left in 2011 to become boss of Pizza Express and then Asian food chain Wagamama before returning to McDonald's in 2013, eventually becoming the chief executive officer. So this guy is definitely a story of a man who worked his way back up. I mean, he worked his way up the top. So he didn't come in with a silver spoon. He actually started as a manager in McDonald's. So, I can't accuse this guy, but I can only imagine on his way up, he must have just been having easy pickings, man, and had his pick of the litter. At least that's what it's showing. And there's another article in here. I'm going to take a phone call first, but there's another article that shows this guy was, he must have just had a healthy sexual appetite. So I'm going to take a call from area code 310-310. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you call it from? 310, you must be on, have me on mute.
Yeah, I got you on mute because I'm at work. And stuff.
Okay.
So I'm just gonna listen in and chime in when I can.
All right, cool. All right, I'll keep you available. All right,
thank you.
So before we look at the other CEOs, I just want to take one more look at this Easterbrook guy. So just to give you an idea, as this guy was really good. So this is from a New York Times article. Mr. Easterbrook, 52, had been widely credited with turning around McDonald's after it posted one of its worst financial performances in years in 2015. So he came on in 2015 and he came to fix it. A native of Watford, England, who previously ran the company's British business, Mr. Easterbrook emphasized technological innovation, striking food delivery deals with third-party apps, Uber Eats and DoorDash, and acquiring small companies that specialize in machine learning and artificial intelligence. They said the year before he was fired, I guess it would be 2018, he was paid more than $15 million. There's no question he's been a very good CEO during his time here, said Jonathan Mays, editor of the trade publication. He really made that organization a lot leaner. They make decisions a lot more quickly. They've gone from a company that was well behind on technology to the one that is arguably at the forefront of things like artificial intelligence and delivery. So Mr. Kempczinski will take over from where Easterbrook started. So casual dining has suffered. Fast casual upstarts that everybody fell in love with have struggled. And McDonald's seems like they've been pretty good at driving business forward. So that's this, Steve Easterbrook has done a great job of moving this place forward. So now the article goes, this is the sexual harassment. Even as its business performance has improved, however, McDonald's has faced criticism from labor advocates who argue that the chain's low-wage workers, some of whom make less than $10 an hour, are mistreated and underpaid. Earlier this year, several Democratic presidential candidates joined striking workers, blah, blah, blah. McDonald's recently began offering new online. Tanya Harrell, a McDonald's worker in New Orleans, has helped lead the campaign for a $15 minimum wage, and workers have filed dozens of complaints. Workers have filed dozens of complaints with McDonald's demanding that the company take action to address sexual harassment. McDonald's has ignored the demands, Ms. Harrell said, including requests to sit down with workers to discuss the issue. With the firing of Steve Easterbrook, we now know why, she said. It's clear McDonald's culture is rotten from top to bottom. McDonald's needs to sit down with worker survivors and put them at the center of any situation. So he's now, since he's gotten caught with these affairs, they're now saying, well, he's the reason why they've had so much sexual harassment. So very interesting. It's hard to defend this guy, because he's known for being with at least three women. But I'm going to tell you, it's even before he took this job, even before he took the job of CEO, he doesn't have the best reputation. And this is the last article I'm going to share about him. But this guy just has a track record, man. This is the U.S. Sun, the Sun News. Let's play a quick video. Let's see what's the date on this. This is November 2019. Let's run this quick video.
Tonight, a major shakeup at McDonald's, with the company announcing it has fired CEO Steve Easterbrook because of a relationship with an employee. In a letter to all McDonald's staff, Easterbrook says the relationship was consensual, but acknowledges he violated company policy, writing, "This was a mistake. Given the values of the company, I agree with the board that it is time for me to move on." McDonald's announced the change today, writing in a statement, "The board determined Easterbrook demonstrated poor judgment."
Grow your business with 2x membership rewards points on your first day.
So, what this article here is talking about is that he literally had an affair with this woman. Right. I don't know if you can say an affair, but this is interesting because before he was hired as CEO, he was working in McDonald's. He was president, not the CEO. He was seeing this woman, Paleo Theodoros, and she was a staffer at Golin. It's a public relations firm. And that public relations firm ultimately ended up getting business with McDonald's. So this woman was, it's unclear if she was in some kind of healthy marriage with her husband. So this woman here divorced her husband, so it's not clear if she was already separated when she started seeing Steve Easterbrook of McDonald's. So remember, Easterbrook wasn't CEO yet. The board knew he had been seeing this woman, and once her PR firm did get the deal with McDonald's, they took her off the account. She had nothing to do with that. They moved her to a different part of the company. But the board knew he was having sex with this woman, and that company was doing business with McDonald's. So the board accepted that, right? She doesn't work for McDonald's. They are a vendor to McDonald's, and they provide PR services. All right, I wonder if they worked with this PR here for him. Man, wouldn't that be the irony, right? If he helped her get in there, and then they end up doing PR about his poor decisions here. So here, the article says, when Easterbrook became CEO of McDonald's in March 2015, the board determined that the relationship with Ms. Paleothedoros didn't violate company policy and signed it off. She was then removed from the McDonald's PR account. The public relations firm said that at the time, Easterbrook had no working relationship with our firm and didn't oversee public relations. Easterbrook and the woman dated for more than 2 years. At the time, Mr. Easterbrook had separated from his wife, Susie, and the board determined his relationship with Paleothedoros did not violate company policy. The CEO's marriage to Susie had since ended in divorce. Our records show Ms. Paleothedoros and her ex-husband began divorce proceedings in 2014. So, and their marriage officially ended the following year in 2015. The couple had two children. Easterbrook's latest consensual relationship with another female employee, which cost him his job, was brought to the attention of senior staff. So, man, this guy, he made his rounds. Just, we'll just put it at that. He used his executive position in McDonald's to make a lot of things happen. And I wasn't there to see it all, but man, he's just got a trail. Even in this article, the guy, the husband of this woman, he had an affair. The husband, Nick Paleothedoros, is said to have told pals he's not a fan of the divorced Brit, 52, who was fired from McDonald's last week over consensual fling with another colleague. So I don't know if he was playing around with this guy's wife before, you know, maybe that was part of the catalyst. I mean, you know, and that's interesting. Did she sleep with this guy to get the account? You figure any PR firm that gets business with McDonald's, that could be a huge account. That could be worth millions of dollars. So that's one way to get business. Something like that happened for Walmart. Walmart had $3 billion account for marketing and PR. There was a woman who actually ended up sleeping with the guy who made decisions. He wasn't the CEO, but it created problems. So let's look at So there are several CEOs that have been in this kind of situation. I want to share one with the guy. His name is Mark Hurd. You may not have heard of Mark Hurd. He was the CEO of Hewlett-Packard, HP. And another guy who did a smash-up job and ended up losing his job. What's going on, Khalil? What's going on, man? Good to see you in the house. We're talking about CEOs having sex with employees or violating their contracts, man. Want to talk about this guy from HP. Another interesting story. This one has a little bit of a crazy twist to it. Do a screen share. And this article is back in 2011. And as you see the title, well, there's no longer any mystery why HP fired Mark Hurd. Some of these guys who lose their jobs are actually end up being good executives, and the board just doesn't want to fire them. I mean, it's such a lengthy process to find a CEO to replace. There's a search. Unless you have someone immediately waiting, like McDonald's had someone who just moved up to CEO who's already in the company. But in some cases, you don't have that. And it's such an expensive and lengthy process. If you don't have someone who's prepared to move up and stand in the shoes of CEO, sometimes a board member will jump in and fill in. And they don't always want to do that, but they will. But especially if you have to get rid of someone quickly, like in the case, these cases of CEOs having sex with employees. It's just it just complicates things for the board. And if you think of the board is there to protect the money of shareholders, to protect the reputation of the company, to make sure the company perpetually exists and does what it was designed to do. And the investors want to get a return on their investment, whether it's in dividends every year or share price increases. Whatever it is, the board of directors is responsible for that, and along with their fiduciary responsibility to protect the investment of the investors, they are tasked with hiring a CEO, and if he's underperforming, they fire him, and if he violates some ethics, in these cases of sex, he's fired. And I just find it so interesting that the way we look at sex here in the United States, you know, once you guys already heard me when, you know, I was living abroad when Clinton was the whole Monica Lewinsky, the rest of the world was laughing at the U.S. and saying, wow, you guys are spending all this money to talk about your president having sex. The rest of the world thought it was really kind of an immature approach to dealing with an executive and chief executive of a nation or even of a company. So here we go with this gentleman. His name is Mark Hurd. He was the CEO of Hewlett-Packard. The article goes, the letter that led to Mark Hurd's ouster as CEO of Hewlett-Packard has finally been released. And it makes clear why HP's board ultimately fired Hurd and why it had no choice but to do so. It wasn't the sex, of which, by all accounts, there wasn't much. It was the dishonesty. Once again, this is the same thing with McDonald's CEO, Easterbrook. There's this dishonesty that happened. There's the covering up. And wait till you hear, not only is this guy, Mark Hurd, cover up, he made a critically poor decision here. So the letter written by attorney Gloria Allred alleged that Hurd had sexually harassed an HP contractor by the name of Jody Fisher. Let's see if we can get, no, we're not. Sorry, I did that. I don't remember if there's a picture of her in here. Okay. See if I can find a picture of this woman. I couldn't find any pictures of the McDonald's guy, the women he slept with, except for that one who worked for the PR firm. So, but listen to this. And here, Mark Hurd was, he was divorced from his wife at the time. But he sexually harassed an HP contractor by the name of Jody Fisher. And listen to who she is. She's an adult movie actress and reality TV star who was ostensibly hired to act as a hostess at HP client events. So an adult movie actress, that's a porn star. So a porn star was hired to be a hostess at HP client events. Interesting. After discussing the letter with Heard and then conducting an investigation, HP's board fired Heard, not for sexual harassment, but according to prior reports and a source familiar with the board's thinking, because they felt Heard had used HP's resources inappropriately and lied to them about his relationship with Fisher. So, and you'll hear that this guy actually did a great job. Maybe the board would have swept this under the rug. But when you hear what he did to sweep his actions under the rug, the events leading up to Heard's departure are important because HP's board was strongly criticized for overreacting when it dismissed Heard. Heard's sudden departure cost HP shareholders billions of dollars in lost stock value and led to multiple lawsuits. He was actually doing a really good job. And so when he was fired, I guess the world, people who invested were selling off the stock and the stock price dropped. Like, it would not have looked good, like something was wrong with the company. Something was being hidden. So it has therefore always been important to understand why the board did what it did and whether the firing was justified. Based on the evidence to date, of which the letter is a key piece, the answer is yes, the firing was justified. The day Jody Fisher and Mark Heard settled their grievances, which was the day before Heard was ousted, Fisher published a short note saying that Alfred Allred's letter contained inaccuracies. She was presumably required to do this to get her money. Interesting. Not surprisingly, Heard's attorney used this note to basically dismiss the letter as fiction when it was released yesterday. But the letter, 8 pages long, and contains hundreds of facts, so it could have many inaccuracies in the details, as Fisher put it, and still be mostly right. And what the letter suggests is that Mark Heard used HP money and resources to arrange and pay for a series of dates and hotel room encounters around the world with a woman he had an intimate relationship with. It also suggests that he had an intermediary, his chief of staff at HP, Caprice McIlvaine, arrange all the details so he would be able to deny some of them later. So this guy, this was premeditated. I mean, he strategically mapped this out and even had someone do the dirty work so he could look like he was not really part of it. And in a particularly alarming detail that has previously been reported, it suggests that Heard told Fisher about HP's pending acquisitions of EDS before it became public. And see, that could put him in jail. So you're a publicly traded company. You're planning to buy another company. That's major. That's like on the level of Martha Stewart and Ivan Boesky and those guys. Because he's telling a porn star, Curl Call Girl, it's a little ambiguous about what she really did, and you'll see why. But for him to tell a person who's not in the company and not one of the executives about an acquisition before it goes public, that's major, because this woman, oh, here's a picture of her. Yeah, there's a picture. That's her right there. So she's an attractive woman. And that's Mark Heard. And by the way, Mark Heard died, I think, in November of 2019. But for him to tell this woman that she could have bought the shares of EDS. She could have done all kinds of things. I mean, that could have just been a disaster by itself if it would have leaked. I mean, that's just an absolutely poor decision on his part. I mean, there's no poontang in the world that will have you violate something so significant. All right, you know, whether it's Martha Stewart or many of the others back in the 80s, like Michael Milken and Ivan Boesky, who were doing all kinds of insider trading and sharing information like this. You just don't do this. It's bad enough he was hiding it and having someone else do his dirty work. Initially, when the all-red Fisher letter arrived, Heard reportedly dismissed it as a simple shakedown. According to the Wall Street Journal, he told board members that he had a couple of dinners with Fisher but barely knew her, and that all of the allegations in the letter were false, including the EDS claim. Not surprisingly, however, the board launched an investigation, and the investigation turned up information that contradicted some of Heard's story. The law firm Covington & Burling, which is a pretty big firm, interviewed Heard, McIlvain, and other HP employees, reviewed expense records and travel schedules, and conducted forensic analysis of computers. And this investigation concluded that Heard had likely initially lied to the board about his relationship with Fisher. I mean, that they spent some serious money to catch this guy, which is an entire distraction to the company. One of the findings of the investigation was also alleged in the letter was that Heard and Fisher's relationship appears to have been intimate right from the get-go, in large part because of the startling amount of attention Heard lavished on her. Fisher's two interviews for the very part-time position, for example, consisted of drinks and with Heard in Santa Monica and with 3-4-hour dinner and drinks with Heard in Denver. And Fisher's first schmoozing assignment in Atlanta was followed by another one-on-one dinner with Heard set up by McIlvain. After this dinner, according to the letter, Heard reportedly invited Fisher back to his hotel suite to see some documents. The article says, so cliche as to be almost comical. In the suite, the letter says, Heard made a couple of passes at Fisher, brushing his hand against her breast, and then asked her to spend the night. When she refused, the letter says, he asked for a hug. And so, according to the letter, began an uncomfortable dance that lasted almost 2 years, in which Heard and Fisher had intimate meals and hotel room encounters together around the world, in which Heard repeatedly tried to cajole Fisher into having sex with him. I didn't read the letter. I should have. Here's what I'm wondering. Did this guy ever actually have sex with her? A couple of weeks ago, I had a woman come on as a sex worker, and she's a dominatrix. She had done OnlyFans and some, she does cam work where she does the whole dildo. And she went to seeking arrangements and went out with guys. She was basically looking for a monthly allowance from a guy. But she told me she was able to do this without ever having sex with these men. So she would lie to you. Now I'm for a second, forget about this article. I'm talking about a woman I had on my show who said guys would come pick her up to take her to dinner, and they would go to dinner at expensive restaurants, and she figured out ways to keep putting the carrot in front of the guy and never actually having sex and saying, my car needs to be fixed. It's $2,000. The guy would just give her $2,000 cash, and she would never have sex with these men. And she said to me that you'd be surprised how many women actually pull that off, like sex workers that are actually able to get money from men and not put out sex. And so, and this woman on my show, who's a dominatrix, also said that some of the clients want to have sex and she just doesn't accommodate them with that, and she gets paid. So I think this is very interesting. Hey, Khalil, absolutely, man. Absolutely. So, but yes, you know, actually that's something interesting, right? So that's something that could be possible. Corporate wars. So that's a possibility, that another company could have sent this woman who And look, she's not unattractive at all. You see her picture here. You see her picture at the top. She could have been paid to go in as espionage and extract all kinds of information and found out about that EDS purchase. I mean, that I'm telling you, that EDS telling her that just could put him in jail. That's just egregious. So, yes, corporate wars, this could very possibly, and this guy is just basically getting exploited, and he's going out of his way to hide this, and he purposely has someone doing the dirty work so he could pull a Ronald Reagan and say, I don't recall, I don't know what you're talking about. Interesting. Yeah, clearly espionage, right? Absolutely. They said when the Cold War ended that a lot of those CIA spies were hired by corporate America, and they were hired to go do espionage in other corporations. So this is a great way, absolutely, no question. A hit based on lust. Well, it worked, man. It worked. Expense report inaccuracies that, in context, appeared to be designed to hide his relationship with Fisher. Heard pointed out that he had not filled out these reports himself. This is his excuse, that McIlvain had, his fall guy. But the same repeated mistake on the reports and notations saying that Heard's dinners with Fisher had in fact been with or included HP's head of security, suggested that at the very least, McIlvain was intentionally trying to cover for him. Two of the top-to-top dinners took place in cities in which no HP event took place. These make it look as though McIlvain basically acted as Heard's madam, setting up dinners around the world for him and flying in a part-time employee who had no reason to be in the same city other than to have dinner with him. For a company as large and visible as HP, and especially for a company trying to move past a recent ethics scandal, the phone record pretexting used to try and figure out which board members were leaking to the press, there's no way the board could have continued to employ Heard as the CEO. Let's see. In short, Heard acted inappropriately with a subordinate, one who he may well have hired with this in mind, right? So they're saying that McIlvain may have been hired just to do his dirty work and had the company pay thousands of dollars to facilitate this inappropriate behavior and was not forthright about his behavior when asked about it. Put those together, HP's board had to fire. But yeah, I'm with you, Khalil, like almost like a hit, right? So he was set up. He was set up. He took the bait. And got smashed. He smashed and got smashed. Well, what was interesting, let's see if I could, is the Mark Heard at HP. Man, this guy came in like blasting with all guns. He came in and laid off 10% of the workforce when he was hired as CEO. That means he laid off 15,000 people, which increased profit. He took departments that were like, he took different aspects of work like IT, which may have been like 80 different departments, and he smashed, compressed that into 9, for example. He got rid of people. He cut expenses, and they loved, the shareholders loved him, because if you're still making, let's say, $100 million, and you just got rid of 15,000 people, that means profits are up. That means the shareholders win. You can pay bigger dividends. So in the shareholders, they love this guy. They didn't want to get rid of him. And the board knew that he was doing a great job. But just, yeah, I mean, just exposing an acquisition that hasn't hit the public yet. That was just really stupid. And that by itself smells like, you know, a hit in espionage. I mean, that's the example, I guess, of you talking about a guy who can't control what's between his legs. That's really dumb. Even though he came in doing a great job, in the end, he ends up hurting the company. And just look at how much money he cost the company in having to go through all of that investigation and have to sift through his lies. That's a big problem. That's a huge problem. So, but they're not...
made a small flash in games when it was actually happening, but...
So they're not the only ones. So I want to do another screen share. I mean, these are usually Ivy League, well-educated men. They're not the founders, but they were saying Mark Hurd at HP that he had like a founder's mentality. He was running it. Guy was doing
a broader cultural landscape.
So here's an article, number of CEOs who exited after bad behavior grows. And this is from 2018. Intel CEO Brian Krannich, who abruptly resigned after what the tech firm on Thursday described as a past consensual relationship with a company employee, is the latest in a string of top business executives who were ousted or resigned for violating corporate codes of conduct. So that's Intel. That's another huge company. Priceline, Darren Houston resigned in April of 2016 after a lengthy investigation revealed a relationship with a female employee. American Apparel, Dove Charney, fired in June 2014 by a trendy clothing company he founded. So he's the founder of American Apparel. The ouster followed claims of sexual harassment of an employee. All right, you know, you have to wonder. I mean, you're in a position of a CEO of a multi-billion dollar corporation. I understand that you're busy, but damn, you can get women from like a lot of different places. It doesn't mean that you go into the hood or something. But you can have access to a lot of women. But I guess not all those women are going to be good looking. Bill Gates married an employee, so go figure, right? He just married the woman. Best Buy, Brian Dunn resigned in April of 2012 following an investigation in an alleged close personal relationship with a female employee. Man, these guys are just getting knocked down. Highmark, Kenneth Milani, CEO, fired April 2012 following a domestic dispute and allegations of having a romantic affair with a business analyst employed by health insurance company. Of course, Hewlett-Packard, we just did that. Starwood Hotels, Stephen Hayer, fired in April of 2007 for sending inappropriate messages to a female employee. Boeing, Harry Stonecipher, resigned in March 2005 following an investigation in a consensual relationship with Boeing executive. I mean, some of these you see was sexual harassment, but most of them seem to be consensual. Maybe that's not a good policy to have. I mean, I understand if you're the CEO, ultimately you're going to have domain over every single employee under you, except the board. I mean, that's you know, that's kind of tight. But like I said, Bill Gates just married the woman. A Shakespearean tragedy, right? He put it all on the line for a whore. So here's the thing about the Mark Hurd. The other part is if he gave up information about an acquisition and he was spending money all over, technically you could say he was a simp. I mean, as powerful as this guy, he came in blasting guns, laying people off. The investors loved him. With sort of like Samson and Delilah, he was... It seems he was weak to this woman. Man, she must have really mastered the art of seduction. And she really must have seduced his mind and got him doing things. All right. You'll hear me say women don't have power. Women's power is predicated on them being able to call the police and call some other man that will protect them. But man, women can have such powerful manipulation when they understand the art of seduction. In some ways, it seems like a lost art with women working so hard to compete against men. But if you train an attractive woman, even an average-looking woman, to know her target and use the art of seduction, as you see, these are men who really have power. These are men who are responsible for writing many of the policies that go through our legislators on Capitol Hill. And here they are being able to be knocked off their throne. Because these guys are running, you know, all those companies I named, these are Fortune 500 companies. They're running companies driving tens of millions and sometimes hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue. These guys are running businesses that are spread all over the world, and they let some woman knock them off their throne. For what? I mean, a Happy Meal. I mean, come on. I mean, the McDonald's guy, Easterbrook, I mean, he was having a field day. He had a bunch of Happy Meals there. Cost him $105 million. There's no pussy on a planet worth $105 million. He had to give it back. Interesting, a Chinese spy. No, I didn't hear about that.
Hey, Ted, I have a question. I noticed all of these guys is being taken, only guys is being taken down. Why I don't hear no females getting caught up in these sex scandals? You do remember the movie Disclosure with Demi Moore and Michael Douglas back in the day. So, I mean, only suckers I see are the men, not the broads. That's not a good look.
That's what we're getting. That's what I'm kind of getting at, Reggie. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I wanted to see who were the CEOs. That's why I just ran down a short list in the 2000s, and they're living on that thing.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll continue listening. I'm still here at work.
Hey, but, you know, the other thing, there aren't that many female CEOs. That's another part. There just aren't a lot of them.
Well, to be honest with you, just like, you know, well, their biology is different from ours. So, you know, when it comes to sex and stuff, they're not going to go that way. Unless they're looking to move up, you know. Ain't no CEO from the company getting ready to fuck the chick who's making french fries in the back. But somehow, you know, us guys are finding a way to do that. That's a whole other subject. Okay? So y'all listening.
The guy had sex with the porn star. I mean, come on.
Wait a minute, is she part of the corporation? Well, she good to go. So what's the problem?
No. They hired her to be a hostess for some executive event. He was trying. Well, he also screwed up and told her some information he should have never told her. Like, he screwed up.
Oh, he was, Oh, he was pillow talking. Okay. Let me handle some business. I'll listen in.
Yeah, it may have even been a spy. Someone may have even sent him, sent her to extract information from him. Yeah, hey, Khalil, me living in D.C., that this whole extortion, I'm going to make an assertion. That's how a lot of these corporations get policies passed. So let's say a senator says, hey, I don't like this bill. I don't want anything to do with it. And they say, well, you recognize these pictures? We have pictures of you with this boy or this girl or whoever else. If you don't pass this bill, you're gone. And I remember just before I left the country, there was a House of Representatives in Illinois. And this guy was going to jail for pictures they had of him with, you know, committing pedophilia. So I think that's part of the problem. If you don't go along with the program, someone sacks you. So I don't know if some of these CEOs were sacked. They sent someone in. but if it's an employee, sometimes that's just, I understand some women are just really hot. And I mean, I do understand that. And you've got as a CEO of these Fortune 500s, no question, you have an enormous amount of power. You oversee tens of thousands of employees. But damn, there are better ways than this. Need some Mac lesson. Casey, okay. I've heard about this House of Cards. I've never watched it. Yeah, but see, these cats don't need game, Khalil. They have power. Power trumps game every day of the week. They just made some poor decisions. That's all. And so there's the problem, right? So if you're in that position of CEO, you're vulnerable. You put yourself in a vulnerable position once you pursue one of those employees, because everyone's under you. Exactly. So this is why you say it's demonizing male behavior of men. This is why I bring up the Bill Clinton. The rest of the world was laughing at the U.S. saying, you guys are making such a big deal. He had sex. What does that have to do with his job? And some people will say, well, he made poor decisions. And if he made poor decisions with that, he could be making poor decisions as president. It's not just that we demonize men's desire for sex, we demonize sex itself. And that has spilled over into the mindset of women in the U.S. who themselves have demonized sex, and they call it this dirty thing. It creates all kinds of problems, and it's turned sex into a transaction. Even when guys are in a marriage, sex becomes transactional. Yeah, a lusty man is an ATM to a whore, right? That's exactly, yep, it's a transaction. You're the ATM machine, I'll open my legs for you. Leading women, leading from the bottom. That's why I made, even when you allow women to lead like that, they will eventually resent you. They will. Yeah, a lot of women are not good at seduction. It's the seduction that once happened, like the seduction that existed one time isn't there the way it used to be. All right. There's a link, Khalil. So here's another way to look at women who could be doing the same exact thing. You know what? So I'll share two personal stories. One, I know a CEO of a company that trades on the New York Stock Exchange. He didn't get fired as CEO, and he wasn't, to my knowledge, he was not pursuing any of his female employees. He was married and he was having affairs. He had an affair with women in two different countries. But he bought one woman a house. I think he bought the other woman a car. And his wife found out about it. And his wife went ballistic. She contacted the media. She was suing him for $20 million. And she made such a stink about it that the company, the board of directors, said, this is too much negative publicity. We're not going to fire you, so we're going to take that guy right under you and move him up to CEO, and we're going to move you to the side, and you're going to be a vice chairman. You'll no longer be CEO. You don't have that same power. You're not powerless. You're just no longer CEO. So he lost his position as CEO because he was having affairs, and his wife found out about it. And his wife penalized him for that. He lost his, you know, he was demoted, basically. So, and Khalil, just let me, one story. So I know a lot of CEOs of significant companies. And I want to say this without revealing anything. So there are two women I know in particular. So we're saying women don't do this stuff. So the first woman, and these both women run companies, they have boards of directors, so these are significant companies. And the first woman, I met her at some event. And she invited me, I suggested we go to lunch. So she said, hey, let's have lunch in my office.
Hello?
Yeah. So I'm
on my own.
What, say that again?
On my own.
Oh yeah, you are. I want to just tell a story. We're saying women don't do this, but I'm going to tell a story about two women who, so the first one, these women run companies that are in the sort of the financial industries. Hey, Sko, what's going on, Sko Bay? What's up?
All right, I'm back. Did you tell them the story?
No. Let me just bang out these two stories, man, because we may have the wrong impression of women. So both these women are CEOs, boards of directors. One is definitely a publicly traded company. And so the first one I go out with, I'm meeting these women for business. And I know I'm meeting for business, and I want to close the deal with these women. So the first one, I say, let's have lunch. She said, oh, we can have lunch in my office. So she orders lunch. And when I get there, I'm wondering why her executive's assistant and staff, I felt like the red carpet was rolled out for me. I mean, it seemed like people were kind of going out of their way to accommodate and be nice to me. I was a little surprised, but, you know, I'm Maybe I just think that much of myself, and that's okay. But I get in her office and I sit down, and she's, I've known this woman for probably, I don't know, a couple of months, and I've never seen her act so feminine, but I'm really still not paying attention because I'm there for business. And at some point, she's asking me more personal questions. And so, you know, that's normal with CEOs. You get to know one another, you bond, you ask personal questions. But then when she asked me if I was dating someone, and I said yes, and I was living with someone at the time. And she said, oh, we should double date. And she said, I'm dating a guy too. And we could go out, and we actually set a date for when the four of us would go out. But then she called and said she broke up with this guy and we can't do this anymore. So I don't think she ever was dating anyone. I think she put herself out. She put her neck in the guillotine by asking me if I was dating someone. She was being a little bit forward and didn't expect that I would be seeing someone. So she had to back out of that by lying and saying that she had someone, and then had to lie and say that it broke up. And just as a side, her executive assistant was a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, like a bona fide 10. But the woman who was the CEO was not, she was under 5. Smart, very smart woman. But I think she would have moved things forward if I would have allowed that. And I just wasn't interested. I wanted to do business with that woman. The second woman happened. We had breakfast, and we were sitting at a booth across from one another. And at some point I noticed her blouse was unbuttoned, like literally down to her navel. Like, I know she doesn't go to work. This woman is a CEO. This is a very conservative company. She comes from a conservative family. Her blouse is unbuttoned down to her navel. And she at some point said, oh, I'm going to go to the restroom. So she gets up, walks towards the restroom, and she comes back and said, oh, I forgot my purse. And instead of going to her seat and sitting and grabbing her purse and coming out, she reached across the table, and now her breasts are kind of in my face. And I see the blouse just open up like the Red Sea right in front of me. And of course I looked. And then she looked back like, I got you, caught you. But even the whole things leading up to that, and some of the conversations, that these women were both available. I was there for business. I didn't really catch it at first because I was very focused on business. And I could have played that game. I just didn't. So women in those positions, if I would have, especially the first woman, if I would have laid her down, I would have gotten business from her. I'm comfortable to say that if I would have played and gave her the power move, I would have ended up with business, and I didn't. So I didn't end up with business. So women, you give women the same power as CEO as a man, and they do very similar things. This is not gender-based. This is human-based. And I'll shut up there. Scobe, what's going on?
What's going on? I want to chime in and stay on topic and relative. But
you have a bad connection, man?
I had a call coming. Am I still on?
Yeah, there you go. All right, cool. I got you. And look, I saw, I'll post.
Yeah.
All the articles I just read, I'll drop them into the description so you guys can have access to them.
Yeah, so my whole thing with the CEOs and things of that nature, as unethical as it looks, it's quite natural and normal.
Absolutely.
These are not like nothing demonic happens.
Absolutely.
This is a feminist angle. It's very feminist. I mean, agreed upon It may be unethical in business situations because look what it created. But at most, what did he really do? What did he really do immoral? Well, we can't trust him.
Well, no. The guy at HP, he revealed something that he should never reveal to anyone outside the company. And he shouldn't even reveal it to people below a certain level in a company, that they were about to buy another company. That's
right,
a major.
That's not the end of the world, and it's not the most heinous crime on a list of crimes.
No, it's not.
Especially done in corporate America. Insider trading goes on all day.
It's
a normal thing. It's a way of life. But there was one time when that exact action that he did just wasn't illegal. It's not that long ago either. So we'll take a powerful figure, a skilled, educated man, a man who dedicated the bulk of his life to this company, and just tear him down.
Yep, exactly.
Because he was lusty.
Yep.
He was lusty. But is there a female equivalent of this very action? Is there a female equivalent? No, there's not. The only female equivalent you have is a high school teacher fucking their students. You don't have anything of the equivalent. So this is a part of the feminist purge and humanizing the basic mating practices and behaviors of men. That's what this is. And they throw it on the paper and they drag them. They did it to Elliot Spitzer. Somebody fucked the whore. The mayor, just a couple decades ago, the mayor is in and out the whorehouse. The happy man. Come on, we're taking regular day-to-day occurrences and making them some kind of criminal acts and creating moral cathedrals out of them. Let him kiss his wife's ass and move on.
And look, the McDonald's and HP guy were both divorced, so it wasn't like they were cheating on their wife. They were divorced men.
And even if they were cheating, none of this stuff is new. This stuff ain't, you know, it's just a way to drag somebody. And you know what I'm saying? This is clearly some espionage. You know, these fuckers don't think like that. Oh, let me go in and he told me this about the company. I can get him in trouble for that. Like, you can't think that was a narrative. I know I can get him in trouble for this. For what? For what? Because she was sent to that man. She probably played and bounced around a couple of other big shots, and they knew how to set him up. That's what this is. And when you're playing that high up the totem pole, you have to protect yourself.
That's the bottom line.
You have to see. You know what I'm saying? You have to protect yourself, and you can't. Once you give them leverage, once you give people leverage, especially a scandalous woman like that, she's going to use that leverage against you. The whore. She's going to wield that power, and that's what she's doing. And this probably boosted her rate. tell-all book. These whores fantasize about things like this. So when I say they need game, they do need game. He does need game. Because game would have cost less than $105 million. I'll give him a course.
Did he for a second think
the whore cared about him? His livelihood, his future? She didn't give a fuck about him.
No, that
but he got comfortable and bent to her. She did. It was just a game for her. It's just a game for her.
No, that's the.
It's just a game.
No. The McDonald's guy didn't get the porn star. That was the HP guy. The McDonald's guy had to give back $105 million because he lied. He probably wouldn't have gotten that severance package if he would have told them he had been with several women who were employees. So he lied. He covered it up. That's where a lot of these guys were penalized.
This where, all right, I'm confusing it a little bit, but because I came in late to the broadcast, I came in late. But and this is where game comes in and it's important. And power is a bigger tool than game. By any means. All day. Power beats game all day. Game don't stand an hour against power. These are powerful men, but in certain arenas, no matter how powerful you are, there's an area where you're not powerful. I'll take it down to the ghetto level. The guy running around shooting up the neighborhood, he go in the house, his girl's screaming at him, but all the gangsters and thugs respect him. But he'll go home, and his girl's smacking him, spitting on him, disrespect him. She don't care. He ain't powerful in that dynamic. So even as powerful as you can be, there's a dynamic. See, when I talk about game, this guy needs dick discipline. These guys need dick discipline. And they don't have it. If you're constant, you know what he's covering. You're giving him too much power. We've seen the story too many times where all the women you dealt with, they bond together and they go get Gloria Allred. How many times have we seen this movie? Ted, haven't you seen this movie before?
Listen. I went down a list of guys from 2002 to 2012, right? So both these HP, well, the McDonald's guy, you figure he's 2019. They already know about these other guys who got knocked down off their throne. So it's not new. Bill Gates, instead of him getting sued for sexual harassment, he just married the woman, right? So he took her off the market and married her. But essentially, it's the same thing. He took an employee and married her.
The only difference is if the woman wants to weaponize the behavior.
If the woman
wants to weaponize the situation. That's the only difference.
Exactly. So, and I wonder.
You get what I'm saying? It's like when they got this.
Go ahead. It's like when they have the what?
They have like a meme that was floating around at one time. When an ugly man at your job puts you in sexual harassment, what an attractive man does it. It's all fine. You get what I'm saying?
Well, do you know what hurt him?
It's up to the woman to weaponize it or her giving grace.
Well, it was.
And her grace, and that's a lot of power to leverage in the work environment.
It's sometimes it's not the woman that you're seeing; it's the women who are observing and maybe not getting the attention of the CEO, and they report it. So the McDonald's guy had to give up $105 million because someone went back and all the pictures he deleted. Someone paid. They had to have paid someone to find all those deleted pictures.
Absolutely.
And then say, we got you. And now I'm a whistleblower, which it was a woman who blew the whistle. So was it a woman who was envious of the other women getting attention? These cats were also giving, the McDonald's dude gave a woman a grant of some stock shares, some options that was worth like a few $100,000. So that was a stupid,
Okay, Trick Daddy.
That's exactly, that's all it was.
Okay, Trick Daddy.
That's why I said
okay,
it's
Trick Daddy.
This is simping on a high level.
This is where game comes in, and I'm not saying, he shouldn't spend on his liaisons or whatever. He's a rich and powerful man. But game comes in when you're giving them leverage. And you know what they can do, and you've seen what they can do. And sometimes they have to be reminded. These guys are on their high horse, living day to day, staring at computer screens. They're not gamed up. They're out the game. They're on another game, an economic game, whatever it would be. They're not aware of the social power dynamics. Just a woman being in a work environment can cause an uproar.
One accusation,
she can cause an uproar. She can put a company at the standstill and give it a black eye.
These men are more savvy. These men are more savvy than you realize. They are not. It's just mind-boggling that they would do this. The CEO that I know personally, this guy, publicly traded New York Stock Exchange, and he's having affairs in other countries. And he bought one woman a house. He bought another woman a car. His wife, I don't know if she hired a private investigator, but his wife finds out, and she went after, she goes to the media, and she wanted $20 million. It was so bad.
Hold on, man.
It's not that he was having sex with an employee. His wife caused such a commotion that the board said, you can't be CEO with your wife acting crazy like this. We have to move you to the side. So it was just a stupid move. And these are smart men. They're just making, it's just stupid.
I remember, I, I remember Pimp told me, Gorgeous Dre. He said to me, he said it's a terrible decision to have a woman a part of your foundation that'll burn down a whole kitchen until it's flat. And that's what that sounds like. That's what that sounds like.
Absolutely.
Took a, take a lifetime to build and get to that position of power and just to the, her erratic emotions, she'll just tear it all up in a state of revenge.
Well,
and you got to recognize when you have a woman like that by your side.
And what it was not smart for him to buy a woman a house. That just was not smart. Even though it was in another country. So you would think,
I got wind in my headphones.
So you could say this guy he made it difficult for his wife to find out what he was doing because he did his dirt overseas, like thousands of miles away in Asia. And still his wife found out. And she burned down the kitchen to kill a fly.
Hey, Ted, them women or something said I had some buddies go put programs in the computer and put up all kind of stuff.
Ridge, you were not too clear. Say that again. Repeat it.
I said them women or something else, man. You know, you can't put nothing past. And they're like MacGyver. When they started digging, I had some buddies, two buddies actually, wise, went and put a program in their computers and started pulling out all kind of stuff. And actually, my name was attached to it, so you know, of course, I got heat for it because I'm the only bachelor, so I'm influencing their husband to do the dirt that they're doing. So, I mean, I just told them guys, if their wife is that bad, they just need to just shut it down. I mean, that was serious. I don't know how they got that information, but they would have put programs in their computers and just started pulling out all kind of shit. So, I heard the story when the guy was talking about how the woman find out about it. Check it out. I keep trying to tell you. Them hoes are savvy. When they start digging, man, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say, bro. I mean, I really don't. Because we, you know, we not programmed. For a man to be programmed that way, he had to be kind of moist. You know, I'm just saying. You know, I mean, you got to give him credit. You got to give him credit for that. They turn into MacGyver on your ass.
Listen, I don't believe it's in our natural nature to. I always tell brothers I talk to in culture about things and women. I always tell them it's in your nature to do it in front of her face. You want to get caught. You're egotistical. Your ego wants you to get caught. Yeah, bitch. I got another bitch. Yeah. See, women are not like that because it brings them shame.
Well, you know what's funny?
It's a part of a man.
You know.
That doesn't want to. It's a part of a man that it imbalances your man when you sneak around and be sneaky about it.
Hey, but you know what really pisses them off? Hey, you could be screwing around with another woman or whatever. So, okay, some other woman want my man. But once you see some resources or something like buying a house for a woman or something that could have went towards her or something that she, you know, whatever. Nah, you don't think so?
That's the other woman exercising power. She's exercising power.
No, no.
Once you start buying
spending
money on
it. No, but you got to understand. What I'm saying is I had my buddy, the one who wife put the program, she said, I don't care what you did with them women, long as you ain't spending no money on them and shit. So that's my whole point. Long as they don't feel like, you know, there's a potential that they're going to be losing out or lose their meal ticket or their workhorse or whatever it is to them or this woman is getting something that they, you know, they could have went to them, then, you know, they're going to be pissed off. I mean, because they're there for the resources. Now she's more of a threat now. She's getting resources instead of just, you know, instead of him just going over there giving her the wood and coming home, you know, giving her some crumbs. Then he bought her house. That's saying something. She feels threatened. That's a threat. I'm just saying that's how I see his wife being. That's what I see. I could be wrong. You know, y'all got our own view, but that's what I'm saying, though.
It was a bad move on his part.
Well, we know it was a bad move on his part, but we're saying what set his wife off was the fact that he actually went over here and bought the side bitch a fucking house. She's a threat now. She's a serious threat. Because if she didn't have some kind of importance, he wouldn't have went out and done that. So that would set her off. That's what I'm saying.
He bought one woman a house, and a second woman he bought a car. So he was buying stuff for more than one woman.
Oh, okay. So she saw some resources leaving to other women. They could have went towards her. So
exactly.
I don't understand why many of you think they need that ball and chain. Especially when this is how command is not necessarily an anonymous creature. Why sign up for that ball and chain when that he's being who he is. He wants more than one woman. That's who he is. She doesn't accept who he is.
What's
the purpose of signing up for that?
I agree with this gentleman 100%. I agree with what he just said 100%. I'm pretty sure some of these guys wasn't.
They're not rich and powerful. I want multiple women.
I'm pretty sure those guys wasn't at the level that they was when they first met these women. They could have been high school sweethearts. Okay. So these women that they're married to are the women that they pick to have their children with to pass on their legacy with. So that's what they there for. So that's what that was all about at the beginning. Now the fact that now he's grown and now he's the CEO of a company or not. Now that he's a CEO and all of this other stuff going on, now things have changed because, you know, he has all of these options, he has all this power, all of this money and stuff. And I've always said myself, and Ted can attest to it, I've already, one woman is too close to no woman. So if I only got to have one, I'll just have none. It's not in a man's biology to be monogamous anyway. So you're just really torturing yourself, you know, sacrificing for the sake of, I don't know, society, this woman, your legacy. All of this stuff has been used for men to have to compromise, actually, your happiness, because if you're not acting on your natural biology, I don't see how you can ever really be truly happy. You know, a hunter that can't hunt, it's not gonna be happy. Not gonna be fulfilled. Not that the other sex really cares, because they feel like they really feel like you're supposed to, you know, huh? I'm done.
I said rich, powerful, highly educated, and ain't got no game. All of the will and the submission of the bitch. You're submissive to the bitch. You want more than one bitch. You don't have more than one bitch to get submissive to you guys. That's you being submissive to your wife and sacrificing your natural biological makeup. You got to harness that. That's a hell of a thing.
Oh, yeah, but guess what? She feels... young man, just think about this. Your husband could have married all of these other women, but he married you, right? How do you think that make her feel? What kind of status? Leonardo DiCaprio, one of the biggest players in the game and a serious pimp guy, I've got a lot of respect for him. What you think if he got married to a chick now, when he could have had all these other women, and he marries this chick? What do you think? How do you think that chick is going to feel? The one that he marries. How do you think she's going to feel? Hello?
It depends what country she's in. Are we talking about Dubai?
Listen, man. I'm not getting all hypothetical. I just asked a basic question. When you're a man, Because you have all of this, you have all of these options, and you have all this status and all of this at your hand. You've been running all, you're the bachelor, you know, everybody knows your reputation, and you have all of this wealth status and everything, and you're an international player, and you married this one woman out of all the women that you could have. How do you think that it makes that woman feel? Hey, can you answer the question?
Conquered, checkmate.
No. She feels elevated. She feels elevated because it's still really all about her, right? She feels that. Wait a minute. She feels elevated because she's now been elevated.
I'm gonna stand on it.
Stand on what, cuz?
Well, she's dominated.
Well, she's dominated. She's dominated or he's dominated?
He gave her the right to make your life living hell. She's dominated him. That's why he's
okay.
Just on the
floor.
She's now dominated. She can make his life a living hell. It's her whim.
Okay. Hey, I agree with you because if you're the one with everything to lose, if she's got very much that she doesn't have anything to lose, or whoever's in that position, yeah, you are in a submissive, even though you're holding all of the resources and everything, this person actually is holding all of the power, you know. And then ask Dr. Dre.
The power, No. No, the power, when you get mad, the power is leveraged. I'm not going to say the man is powerless. The power is leveraged. The power gets leveraged. Because when you look at the Dr. Dre situation, she'll never have another Dr. Dre. She ain't getting no billionaire pick. It ain't happening. She'll never have a
Snoop
will never go up. She won't get another Dr. Dre. So they lose in the breakup. But while married, there's some power dynamics that are imbalanced and balanced on both sides.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, that's a whole other story. Well, we know that she can't replace Dre, or she can't replace Will Smith or a man of that status. But at the same time, she has everything to gain by if she decides to walk, she walking with half. She came in with nothing but a box, a wet box in the first place. So, I mean, she wants.
Dana Pinkett has. Dana Pinkett Smith has more with Will Smith. She'll have less leaving.
There's a reason why she hasn't left, right? That's the reason why she left. Why has the Denzel Washington wife left him? He's been cheating. Because she's Mrs. Denzel Washington.
That's my whole point of it.
Nobody would even know who she was, but she's Mrs. Denzel Washington. When he gets on the red carpet, she's on his arm. Wherever he goes, if he ain't hiding, he gets caught by the paparazzi with another chick.
Check this out real quick.
Okay, Reg,
finish what you were saying, Reggie.
Oh, I'm just saying that these men offer these women status. Hey, does anybody know who Michelle Robinson is? Who's Michelle Robinson?
Mrs. Robinson.
Does anybody know who?
What you say, Mrs. Robinson, from that 1963 Dustin Hoffman movie?
Yeah, but I want to ask you, does anybody know who Michelle Robinson is?
I gave you my guess.
No, I'm asking the New York guy with the New York accent or wherever he's from. Who's Michelle Robinson?
Brother, make your point. Please move on. I had to pause, DJ.
Come on, Yankee from New York. Okay. So you don't know who, you don't know who Michelle Robinson is, but you know who Michelle Obama is, right? Right?
Absolutely. Oh, that was a nice one, brother.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
So, with the whole Jada Pinkett got the nerve to keep her last name. Like, you don't give a fuck about no Pinkett.
Will, how you doing?
Once he kept that pinky, he should have known what it was. Like, you shouldn't even talk about that. You should let that shit go, baby girl. Ain't nobody checking for no pinky. It's enough over here, you heard? You know what I'm saying? That should have been the first red flag. One of them.
Even if they hyphenate the name.
Nah. What's the females hyphenating
the
name?
No. You're not understanding what I'm saying. I'm saying even if they want to hyphenate it, it's a red flag. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You trying to bring your daddy name into this. We under this now. We gonna keep it traditional.
Exactly.
I'm gonna get on my knees.
Hey, that's disrespect. Hey man, that's disrespect right there, man. Any guy to go for that, man. I ain't got no love for him. Nothing. But if I'm a rich and famous guy, I'm not marrying no chick anyway, so it wouldn't have even become an issue. Like I told you, Leonardo DiCaprio got the game down pat. I got much respect for him. I wish we had a brother that was somewhat like that. Maybe P Diddy. Are you agreeing with the old man? Leonardo DiCaprio.
What you mean?
I like you.
He didn't sell his soul to the bitch. So I respect it.
Hey Ken, who is this young man? I like this dude.
I'm just going to get a phone.
That's Uncle Ted right there. Okay. Well, you must be. Okay, New Yorker. All right.
Hey, you're down in Atlanta, right? Did you move down south? Right now, I'm in Dallas, Texas. Where are you? You're in Texas. Okay. All right, never mind. I'm in Atlanta.
All right,
so you're moving around then, huh? So this is an interesting conversation. Think about it, right? So, for me, it's mind-boggling when a man says hello to a woman, and I've had these conversations with women. The woman gets upset, and I ask a woman, you know, I've asked women, why would you ever get upset if all he says is hello? She's like, well, I know what that hello means. He wants to fuck me. So then you wonder, well, what's wrong with sex? So what if he wants to have sex with you? Like, what's the crime? Even if I look at your breast, if I look at your body, Like, where's the crime? Like, there's nothing unethical about looking at another human being. So women have, as you were saying, Scobate, demonized the whole notion of something that's so natural, which is sexuality. That's how all of us got here, is two people had sex, unless your parents were at an orgy, then, you know, that's a whole different story. So the real point that I'm getting at here is women don't see how they are playing themselves. So they're demonizing men for having sex. We started talking about guys who've been penalized, who put themselves in power positions, and they got knocked down for either desiring or having sex with women. And men are now looking at the big picture. They're looking at how that is happening and how your whole life could be ruined. You're the CEO of a company. The board loves you. The investors love you. Wall Street loves you. And you just lost your job because you had sex. Now, I got it. They signed contracts that said they will not fraternize with employees. They won't be having sex. They signed agreements that they won't do that. But I guess the big problem is we've made sex this horrible thing that can cause you to have your whole life destroyed. And men are watching this and developing new attitudes towards women. And so you guys, you bring up a good point in saying, well, we don't have women doing this. But I'm comfortable to say, Red, you got to go on mute. Like, here. I will assert that I've been out with women of significant companies who are CEOs, and if I would have had a sexual relationship with those women, I would have gotten the business I wanted. I didn't. The women were in the same power position as a man, and they used it and they leveraged it. And when we look at the teachers who have sex with boys, with minors, they're slapped on the wrist. They're hardly penalized. So what we've done is we figured out how to sort of push women to the side and say, oh, if women do the same thing that men do, if they're rich and powerful and can make decisions that alter, that control the lives of millions, those women are allowed to do that. What women would say, even if there was a CEO who did that, what women would say is, well, men did it, and they would say that woman is powerful. But when men do it, we're demons, and we're horrible, and we shouldn't be allowed to be in these positions anymore. Men are watching this, and it's altering the way men look at women. And in the end, women are going to lose. Like, there's no way for women to win this in the long run, because if they are biting the hand that feeds them, if you think about it, most of the jobs women have, I talked about the CEO of General Motors. Most of the jobs women have and the jobs they aspire for are inside of companies founded by men. So if women demonize men too much, they could end up cutting themselves off from the very opportunities they want. I mean, Me Too, it's actually already started, because the whole Me Too movement has made men nervous. And one of the ways women move up the corporate ladder is to have a mentor, and over 90% of the time, their mentor is going to be a man that helps pull them up the corporate ladder, partly because women don't work well together in corporations. They don't help as much as people think they do. And if you're in a company founded by men, and then most of the men in power naturally would be men because it's founded by men. So you would want to find a male mentor, and men are becoming nervous about mentoring women. And those mentor sessions need to be private, one-on-one, so they can really discuss things. And men do not want to be one-on-one with women. So women are cutting off their nose to spite their face. They're demonizing men And you just, there's no way for women to win in the long term. Because if you demonize men long enough and penalize them long enough, what men will have to do is stop hiring so many women. They will have to put a barrier for how far a woman can go, and that will be the way men will protect their careers. And women don't see that they're actually fighting a losing battle. They're slitting their own wrist to win a few extra brownie points. And until women decide they're going to go just run off and build their own civilization, they depend 100% on men. Like, I don't care what woman claims to be independent. Women depend on us 100%. If every man left the United States and went somewhere else, this country would be invaded in less than a year. And women would be on the floor scrubbing, or they'd be in a whorehouse. So women depend on us. And the only thing stopping this country from being invaded are men, the very human beings women claim to be enemies. So as I've asked this question before, I don't understand the end game for women. And I don't think they do either. They're just being parrots and following what someone told them to do without understanding they can't win this game in the long run. Reggie, I know you wanted to say something. I guess you must be on mute. You must be in a noisy area. See you guys in the house on IG. Muscle Man, Emad, Ruat Fella. So this conversation actually started out.
I'm in a noisy area, kid.
I hear it. So this conversation started out talking, did former CEO of McDonald's bring new meaning to the Happy Meal? He had sexual relations with several women in the company. What was interesting is he had sexual relations when he was not the CEO, before he became CEO. He was seeing a woman of this PR firm. The board knew about it when they made him CEO. They had no problem because even though that PR firm was doing business with McDonald's, she wasn't an employee and it's consensual. When the board found out he was having consensual sex with one woman, that lit a fire. They had to make a decision. They got rid of him, but they gave him a great severance package. Some whistleblower did some real, as Reggie calls MacGyver, she did some real digging to find that former CEO of McDonald's was actually having sex with several women. They found at least three women he was laying down. So that guy was, you know, he turned a whole new meaning of Happy Meal at McDonald's. He was getting his Happy Meals. They found sexting nude pictures from him, from other women sending to him. So that turned into a disaster. The board went after him and said, hey, if you would have told us you had sex with all those women, we wouldn't have given you that severance package. So he had to write a check and give back $105 million. That's a lot of money to have to give back. We also talked about Mark Hurd of Hewlett-Packard, who was also like the McDonald's CEO, both doing a great job running the company, like fantastic. The board loved them. Wall Street loved them. The investors loved them. They're just relationships with employees, female employees, exploded in their faces and caused them to lose their jobs. And, you know, this all reminds me of Bill Clinton back in the 90s and the whole Monica Lewinsky. And I was living in several countries, but I remember specifically being in Mexico and the Mexican people wondering why people in the U.S. were making such a big deal out of Bill Clinton having sexual relations as president. Like, they couldn't understand. They even wondered, was the wool being pulled over the eyes of U.S. citizens, because they had everyone watching this thing over here, and under the table, some real trick was happening and no one saw it. the French laughed at us and said, hey, if that was our president of France, we would have just given him a thumbs up and said, keep doing what you're doing. So we make such a big deal out of sex. We've demonized men for wanting to have sex. And that's something that women kind of hold over a man's head. Like, why do you want to have sex with me? But I've asked countless women over a long time. I asked these women, if you were married and your husband said he no longer wants to have sex, what would you do? Every woman except for one said they would divorce him. So women want sex too. So men need to back women off of this. And look, if I look at a woman, you're attractive, you have great breasts, and I look at them, there's no crime. I look at them. Other women look at your breasts if you have nice breasts, especially if they're very large. And some of these women are wearing like crazy cleavage so that you can see them. As men, we need to stop worrying about it. Let women have those problems and go deal with it themselves. And if they don't like it, well, they should leave the companies if they feel like they're being sexually harassed. Go create a company of all women and compete in the global marketplace. Like, men have to start looking at women who are, look, if you rape a woman, this is a problem. You also don't have reason to touch a woman if she doesn't want to be touched. But the idea that you looked at a woman, you made a sexual joke, I mean, all these things that men just do naturally, that's part of bonding. When we work together, when we hunt, women want us to be hunters. Well, if men go out on a hunting, they're going to tell dirty jokes, they're going to say all kinds of things, and they're going to have a good time, and they come back with the game that they captured, and they feed the village. That doesn't change just because we're not in this brutal, you know, raw hunting in the wilderness. We're now working in these sophisticated buildings, but men are still human beings, and we're now hunting at work in a company with our peers. And if women really do have a problem with men being men in corporations, women need to look at an alternative to creating female-only competitive companies. I love to see a women-founded 500 company with all women, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 women, including the janitors and all the heavy lifting jobs, and compete, make cars, make television. Make shoes. Men need to start taking a stand and saying, that's enough. We've gone too far. But perhaps we're going to get there anyway. It's just going to take a longer ride to get there. I mean, technically, you know, if a man starts a company, he's not obligated. I understand we have laws on a book, but you have the right to hire whoever you want. People should be able to hire the best person to work in their company. And yes, it is nice to have women working in a company, but not to the detriment that men are being, their entire livelihood is being crushed for having sex. I mean, I just don't. When you think about that, that's mind-boggling, because all of us are here because our parents had sex. I mean, if you don't understand that, you're beyond naive. So if the only reason we're here is because we had sex, why are we demonizing men having sex drives? And if you really understand, there's formal and informal research that says very successful men, highly ambitious men, generally have large sex drives. So how can you have this man who makes it to the top of the food chain in a Fortune 500 company with tens of thousands of employees, and one man, only one man, rises to the top to be CEO? That's a hell of an ambitious man. And if very ambitious men have large sex drives, how do you think? Yes, dick control, but how do you think that just goes away when that's part of his makeup. That aggressive driven sex drive, that aggressive driven desire to succeed, to drive revenues, to produce results. Sex is one result you produce, and it's very healthy for you. So maybe we need to rethink how we look at men and sex. Maybe we have this Puritan philosophy and mindset that's so outdated that it should have been destroyed hundreds of years ago here in the U.S. Other countries don't seem to have it to the extent we do. So as men, maybe it's time for us to re-examine whether women should be in the workforce to the extent they are. I mean, if it's going to cost us men our own humanity, how do we do sex effectively? That's important. We have to suppress our own humanness. And sex drive is part of humanity. That's how we've existed for so many. Who knows how many millions of years? Perhaps it's billions and they don't tell us. Reggie, you want to say something?
Well, as I did, I remember in Godfather number 2, I believe it was, Michael was so cold. And I remember they went to Havana and his brother and his other guy brought all these chicks in and everything, right? And Michael didn't give a shit about them chicks or whatever. He was focused on the business and what needed to be done as far as the family and the business and everything. So when you were talking about that, that came to mind that it was only a movie, but I do know probably in that mafia lifestyle with those type of guys is that they don't get caught up in those type of things or whatever, and they have power now. But sex is not a priority to them, or I don't know what the word you might want to call
they,
it. But
they have
but they whole thing
for them to have mistresses, Reggie, right?
We know that. No, they allowed to have mistresses if they wanted.
Right.
That's my whole point of it. Michael could have did whatever the heck he wanted. It wouldn't have been a problem, but he didn't want to. He was focused. He had his kids. He had his wife at the time. He had the family. He had the family fortune and business in the palm of his hand that he had control of. So he was focused on the family. And when I mean the family, I mean the family, the Corleone family. Period.
Right.
You remember,
right.
You asked my boy. He said, I heard you were putting your hands on my brother. I heard you were putting your hands on my brother. Are you been clapping around my brother? You remember that part? When you mention that, I actually that's one movie that came to mind.
Go ahead.
You go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm done.
I was just going to say that's an excellent point, and that so we're coming together with this. This men need to have that kind of focus, and if women don't like it, then they can start their own. Because it's men who built this civilization. It's men who drive the corporations the way they do. You just don't find women to have that kind of ambition that you see in these guys. And what comes with men who have that kind of ambition is generally a large sex drive. I mean, if you condemn them and you have the weaker guys, you probably won't have the same kind of aggressive, globally competitive companies that we have now. And if that's where we're going with the United States, we might as well start learning Mandarin.
Hey, Ted, I want to say something else. I want guys to understand that these women find pleasure in destroying me. It's almost like a black widow. It's kind of funny because it's almost like the black widow syndrome, and they find pleasure in destroying destroying your life. When you call it cut off your nose to spite your face or whatever, they don't care when they get to that point. So, I actually sit back and have thought about it, that they'll get with you because you're doing good, but her whole time she's thinking about how she can screw up everything for you, how she can bring you down off your mountain. So I'm really beginning to believe that these bitches really have a biological drive inside within, but they actually have some kind of deep rooted hatred for me. Now the fact that the only way a woman can fulfill her biological agenda is with the assistance of a man. That's the only way. She can't survive. Like you said, they ain't built nothing. We already know that they ain't built nothing. They not going to build nothing. They only going to fuck it up or make life harder for your ass or whatever. So, I think they all inherently have the Black Widow syndrome in them. So, and what I mean, like the Black Widow, that could be through infidelity or through divorce or any other means to destroy a man's life,
Well, I would say it's more analogous to this. Imagine you have a child and you never guide them, you never correct them, you let them just do whatever they want. They end up in jail. Their life is not good. Who is that child going to blame for their life?
They're gonna blame the parent, of course.
Absolutely, right? And they're gonna resent. They're gonna have some resentment. My parents were weak. They didn't handle me the way the way a parent should have, right? That's the problem men are having. That is a realization.
Well, yeah, and what? I mean, that's a great analogy, really. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's a lot of truth there. Because I've always said these broads ain't nothing but damn children, So that's very true. But like I said, when you got 70%, 80% sent vaginas on this damn planet and in powerful political positions catering to these fucking broads, This is what the rest of us, we got to deal with this shit. I mean, unfortunately, luckily, these broads, they really hide in the minefield from men. They kind of put all of their shit out front. So the minefield, they let there's a minefield over here, and they kind of letting you know where the mines are, too.
When your child is acting up, they really want you to correct them. They really do. They want attention. They want to be corrected.
Kid, I agree with you. And I told you that the women were the children, but I also let you know that men, the minefield, you can see the mines. What they're trying to do or what they're doing,
They want you to correct them. That's why they're not hiding it. They want you to correct them. So the men who have the capacity to do that need to take that role, that position, and not worry about the men who are incompetent for doing that. And maybe there are some men that you can help. Maybe they're straddling the fence, or maybe some men don't know better because they never learned anything else. But the men who have the capacity to provide the guidance and direction, you do that. So, look, I give you an example. I was seeing this woman, and her sister had one child who was young, maybe 4 years old. And the four-year-old, the mother let her kind of do things that were not always appropriate. And I'm watching the four-year-old pull my girl's hair and some other things. All I had to do was firmly say, don't do, like, I had to speak to her firmly, not yell at her, and she responded. And I, you know, you might think that I was being too firm with her, but whenever she saw me, she loved me. She said, that's my Teddy. You know, she loved seeing me. She would run to me, but I always checked her. I checked her as a four-year-old, and she was very responsive. My girl didn't have the capacity to do that. She was just kind of, oh, don't pull my hair, you know. It's like, but I put it into that. Men have that, and they just need to exercise. That's all. And the more men who exercise it, there are enough men. There are millions of men who have. Even if you say 80% are simps, that 20%, that's still 20 million male adults in the United States. There are a little over 100 million men in the United States. And if all you have is 20%, that's 20 million men. That's a lot of men, 20 million men who can correct things. That's a big number, 20 million. It might be a small percentage, but it's a lot of men. And you stop worrying about the other 80% and you get things done. I mean, that would be no surprise. If it takes 20% to correct what the 80% screwed up, that's just normal. It happens in corporations. So what? Which 20% of the men are willing to take that stand and support correcting things? That's the question, Reggie. Are you going to be part of the 20% or the 80%? You can't be, there's no middle ground. So men build these great organizations, these great cities, and we're being knocked over for wanting to have sex. I really say it's time for us to renegotiate relationships and terms and what we call ethics and unethical and this whole Puritan culture that has been at the foundation of the United States needs to be just completely gutted and a completely new foundation put in. And if it takes the 20% of us to do that, so be it.
Well, okay. Well, then I'm gonna have to go with my boy Christopher. Blood, there's gonna have to be bloodshed, bro. So I can tell you this, we're going to have to be like my man Ajax in the Warriors. Everybody's going to have to be like Ajax, okay? We can, 20%, we can handle 80% as long as they all wimps. Who's down?
Yeah, that is one way to do it. And if you don't have any other skills, that would be the only way to do it. But if you have better skills than that, you actually can be a lot more savvy about it. And that is what men need to learn. Because once you get into the relationship, if that's all you got is I'll blow you away, then you haven't corrected anything. You just haven't. You can kill off 90% of the population. Okay, I mean, technically you've become the very thing that you want to get rid of in the process of doing that. That would be a last resort. Men need to be more savvy so that when they're in a relationship, they can correct things. And I'll say the last word, and that is self-mastery. And men who have not pursued their own self-mastery might as well be part of the 80%. Otherwise, you end up cutting off your nose to spite your face. And I don't think people want to do that. So I appreciate you guys. Skobe, thanks for jumping in here and dropping some some knowledge in the chat. Reggie, always love having you. I thought this conversation could be somewhat provocative. It's hot off the press, and I also took this opportunity to for us to maybe take a new perspective on how we look at men and sex in the workplace. Perhaps women really don't belong in the workplace with men, or at least not in the masses that they want to be in. So this is up to men. So guys, if you haven't smashed the like button, and for all you ladies who are watching, smash that like button before you leave and leave a comment. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, this is a good time to do that. And share this. Men and women need to rethink how we interact with one another. And this hatred of the battle of the sexes, no one, in the end, no one wins. There's just no way to win. That's not the way we were designed. So we're going to need a lot more intelligence and savviness on how to work through something that was started by, you have to understand, a tiny percentage of people started it the way it is now. So you don't need 80%. It didn't take 80% to get us here. It was less than 80%, maybe 1%. So it can be turned around. Until then, have a great evening, everyone. Enjoy your weekend. I'll be back on Sunday with Straight Talk, and we'll take on another provocative conversation. Thanks for your time and support, guys. Have a great evening and good night.